We return to our series on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, and we consider, with the Lord's help, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus has been addressing his followers, his disciples. He has called them to a law of love, a love that is to reach much further than we are accustomed to go. And truly, following Jesus always calls us to go beyond ourselves. He calls us to love our enemies, to bless those who persecute us, to pray for those who hate us and who slander us. He calls us to a life of such obedience that we cannot consider ourselves a follower of Christ, or at least a consistent one, if we judge others, and yet we do not apply to ourselves that same rigorous standard that we're measuring out to others. Whatever you measure out to others, it's going to be measured back to you. So be careful about judging others. First, take that log out of your eye before you try to go and pick out that little infinitesimal speck out of your brother, your sister's eye. Jesus doesn't pull punches, does he? Jesus doesn't pull punches. He doesn't speak smooth, reaffirming, gentle words. He doesn't whisper with sweet murmurs in your ear all the time. Although he does bring infinite comfort. He came to bring us true comfort. Yet, even the best of his disciples need a little slapping around, quite frankly. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Boys and girls, your parents tell you, oftentimes, don't they, to stop complaining. You have so much, so many blessings, and yet it seems as though the more you receive, the more you see your glass half empty. And you gripe and you grouse. Well, it seems like complaining, and especially because it comes from our own corrupt hearts, our complaining always seems to be foul and wrong-headed. But Jesus here is complaining. It's a righteous complaint because it's not fair. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Consider with me, with God's help, Jesus' complaint over lip service. Jesus' complaint over lip service. And before we proceed, perhaps a word about what lip service even is. It is the saying of nice and polite and respectable and flattering things, but that's it. There's nothing more. It's just a flourish of nice and lovely words. But there's no substance to it. There's no great meaning to it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, in this rather challenging rhetorical question, which he puts to us no less than he put to his followers in those days, why do you call me Lord, Lord? You respect me. You make sure that everyone knows that you have a regard for me. And yet, you don't do the things which I am teaching you and pressing upon you. Away with your words. Away with your flattery. As one ancient commentator, the Venerable Bede, put it, why do ye boast of sending forth the leaves of a right confession and show forth no fruit of good works? Now, leaves are lovely on a fruit tree, but how much more the fruit? So Jesus complains against lip service among his followers. Consider 3 points with me, dearly beloved. First, profession of obedience. Second, hypocrisy not uncommon. Third, pretension and mockery. First, profession of obedience. Now, Jesus is not complaining about people submitting outwardly to him, openly recognizing him. In fact, that is a major ingredient of being a follower of Jesus. Jesus calls upon his followers to acknowledge him, not to be ashamed of him. And friend, if you're ashamed of Jesus, if you will not confess and openly acknowledge him before your friends, before your classmates, before your coworkers, at appropriate seasons, to be sure, but if you will hide your light under a bushel and try to hide the fact that you are, in fact, a follower of Jesus, it's a sin. It's a grievous thing. So Jesus isn't complaining about men calling him Lord, Lord, because he is. Jesus said in John chapter 13, you call me Lord and Master, and you speak rightly, for so I am. And it's only fitting that we should confess him before men. For if we confess him before men, he will confess us and acknowledge us before the Heavenly Father and all his holy angels. But that's not what Jesus is complaining about. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Followers of Jesus, we need to understand, profess not only faith in him, but complete and unswerving obedience to him. Followers of Jesus believe on Jesus and take him and own him as their Lord. When Nathanael realized that Jesus knew things about him that only God could know, what does he say? Rabbi, thou art the King of Israel. Your Lord. Believers, acknowledge him as their Lord. As Thomas says, my Lord and my God. As John the Baptist in the early days of the ministry of Jesus said, I'm not worthy that I should stoop down and unloose the latchet of his sandal. I can only baptize with water, but he baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And to take him as their king, as their Lord, is to declare and swear obedience to him. Jesus calls upon his followers, take my yoke upon you. And this has always been the duty of the people of God, is to openly acknowledge and confess and swear allegiance to their Lord and their Redeemer. Isaiah 44:5, one shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. You're our God. You're our King. You are our Lord. And being the Lord, according to Isaiah 33, he is our lawgiver. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our King. He will save us. And Jesus is constantly in his teaching giving commandments and directives. He is saying, you've heard that it has been said, you shall not kill. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And so I say unto you, be reconciled to your brother when he has something against you. He gives all manner of commandments. He instructs as to how we are to pray. We are to go into our closet. And when we have shut the door, we are to pray to our Father who is in secret. Have you been obeying your Lord in this thing? He has commanded his people from time to time to fast. But the way they fast is to be done in a way that does not call attention to itself, and so on. And so he is constantly giving these, not guidelines, he is giving commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so love your enemies, that's a commandment. Pray for them, that's a commandment. Watch and pray, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's a commandment of Jesus. It's a non-negotiable. And true believers, true followers of their Lord, when they become a believer, they surrender everything. Not to secure some kind of love or affection. No, they've first been loved. And that's what is the wellspring of their willingness to obey, because he loved me and he gave himself for me. He, being my Lord, came and washed my feet. How shall I possibly think of disobeying him by refraining from washing the feet of my brother? Well, I'll wash his feet, but not her feet. No, Jesus doesn't allow this. He is to be obeyed in the fullness of his teaching, if we call him Lord, Lord. Even the larger catechism speaks about not just a profession of faith among Christians, but a profession of faith and obedience. And when we take our vows, we profess that we will serve the Lord. So this is presumed. This is in the background. These people have pledged their loyalty. They are going to follow Jesus. And that's not what he's complaining about. Now, second, consider that hypocrisy is not uncommon. Jesus is Lord, and he is the greatest Lord that ever was, ever shall be. He is the one that you can give your life to, surrender everything to, and yet, instead of being a denial of yourself and of your true happiness, that life of surrender and complete obedience will be the beginning of your everlasting happiness. For Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's your sins that are burdensome. It's the world that is oppressive, that like Pharaoh, commands you to make bricks and gives you no straw. It is Satan who is the thief, who only comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus has come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. And so when sinners come under Jesus, they surrender to his sovereign love and his grace and his forgiveness and his sweet power that overcomes us and changes us from the inside, so that naturally we want to keep God's law. Nevertheless, among his followers, among those who profess not just that Jesus is their Savior as a ticket to get out of hell, but they also profess him as Lord. They say, "Lord, Lord." Nevertheless, among his outward followers, there are many hypocrites who rest only in mere outward religious duties. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now, outward religious duties are great duties, to be sure. We've just referred to a few of them, haven't we? A pattern of habitual private prayer, giving alms, giving contributions of benevolence, yet in such a way as not to attract attention to yourself, fasting, going to church. The Lord Jesus Christ, he called upon his followers to keep the Sabbath. And he honored the institution of, shall we call it, church going. And his apostles gathered together and in his name called all Christians to gather together on the first day of the week. Outward religious duties are great duties. Give attention to the reading of the Scripture. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Singing and making melody unto his heart, in his heart, unto the Lord. You are to come together from time to time, and you are to prepare yourself by examining yourself and having done that with the assurance that, yes, you do have sincere faith and a hunger for Jesus Christ, you are to come to a certain table at a certain time with certain elements and partake of them in a reverent way, remembering and showing forth the Lord's death until he come. All these things are to be done and not left undone. And in this hyper-casual age in which we live, in which the consumer is sovereign and everything must be served up to his mouth and at just the right temperature and with just the right mixture of ingredients, or he's not going to swallow, Jesus' truth stands over all of this wicked nonsense. You know, I get sick and tired when people say, "Well, I believe in God, but not the church. I'm not so much for institutional religion. You know what that's code for? I just like to sleep in on Sunday mornings. I don't like to have my style cramped. Well, Jesus nowhere teaches any of his followers that your spirituality can just disconnect from institutional religion. Jesus exposed all kinds of hypocrisy, and that's what he's in fact doing right here. And he pointed the finger at the religious leaders who taught things and yet did not live them. He had some of his sharpest words for the Pharisees, who could tithe the smallest little elements, the mint, the anise, the cumin, and yet they omitted the weightier matters of the law. And yet Jesus said, the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All that they say unto you, do, but not according to their works, for they say and do not. So whatever they said that was in agreement with God's word, you observe, there is still a church, however much it is corrupted, and however much there are hypocrites who only focus on externals. But that doesn't mean that Jesus authorizes people just to float around like motes of dust in the breeze and not be connected to the church which Jesus said he built upon the rock of Peter's confession. Friends, outward religious duties are duties. And Jesus isn't saying, don't confess me, don't acknowledge me in these ways. But the problem, is that hypocrites count these outward duties as virtue enough. That as long as they show up, as long as they make their appearance, as long as they do those religious practices, that's enough. But Thomas Boston said it rightly when he said, a profession of subjection to Christ and bearing the external badges of it is common to many of the devil's goats as with Christ's sheep. Have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? As John preached, don't look to Father Abraham. Don't look to these outward religious connections and performances as your life raft. If there's no faith of Father Abraham, and if there's no fruit, Jesus has just finished teaching, you shall know everyone by their fruits. You do not gather figs from thistles. You do not gather grapes from a thorn bush. But a good tree brings forth good fruit. And so if there is not a life of serious and meaningful, not perfect, there will be no sinless perfection in this life, even for the most devout of believers. But there will be a deep and a meaningful devotion to the Lord Jesus and a serious and a meaningful attempt to live before him and to keep his commandments. Third, pretension and mockery. This hearing of Jesus, listening to him, that's respectful. That's a good thing. We need to hear Jesus. But it's hardly enough. because it's just a pretense. That is, it's just an outward show. And there's no deep and meaningful reality beneath it. In fact, it's a mockery, a profane mockery of the Lord Jesus. We think about this parable that Jesus gave. What do you think? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said, "I go, sir," and went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said unto him, "The first." Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots," or the prostitutes, "go into the kingdom of God before you. Because they repent, and out of that love, they surrender their lives and they obey. But these others are like the other son who said, 'Yes, Father, I'll go. I'll do whatever you'd like to do.' And when the day is over, it's still undone. 'Oh, but I'll do it tomorrow. And then I've kept my word.' But then tomorrow comes, and it's still undone. 'I'll get around to it eventually.' Day 3, day 4, day 10, day 20. You see, it's just a pretension. It's just words. You see, words mean something, but they're not everything. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's just a pretension. And worse, it's a profane mockery of the Lord. Isaiah 29:13. "Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." I'll take your lips, but give me your heart. But that's all they give him. They just give him talk, fair promises, respectful words, titles, Lord, Lord. But as Manton says, Christ will not be flattered with empty titles. It's a mockery. This is what we call lip service. Why call ye me Lord, Lord? Hear the complaint, the grief of his heart that any should call Jesus Lord and yet not do the things which he says. It's a mockery of his intelligence. As though he didn't have two eyes to see what was plainly obvious right before him. A mockery of his authority, who spoke with such authority when he began teaching that people immediately recognized that the very hand of heaven was upon him. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And people were amazed at the end of the Sermon on the Mount as he taught again and again. Not quoting Scripture as a superior authority to him, but quoting it as his own. For he spoke to them as one having authority and not the scribes. And yet, his authority is mocked when his disciples say fair things about him and yet don't do the things which he commands. Above all, they mock his very identity as the very Jehovah of the Old Testament, who is the judge, the lawgiver, and the king of Israel, who said before Abraham was, I am. And so it is a mockery, especially because it's not just a mockery of his human intelligence, as he can see things just as we see things and know that something is a little fishy here, but we're still fallible. But he sees right through to the heart. And he sees those things that are done in secret. You see, that's how we lead the double lives. Is that outwardly we dress up and we look nice, but in secret, we think it's just ourselves and our sins. But ah, he sees. He sees. Why will you mock him? You call yourself a follower of Jesus. He doesn't call upon you to consider yourself or even say that you're a sinless individual. Indeed, he calls upon you in the first instance to acknowledge that you are a broken sinner before him and his cross, that you can never be what you should be, but that because of his love and his grace, what he has done on the cross, which we could never imitate, by this, we can become his accepted and Spirit-empowered servants for a life of obedience. But we cannot play games with him. And if you're playing games with him, Jesus is speaking to you right now. Why call ye me Lord, Lord? Now, a brief word to those who have never seriously taken Jesus as Lord, or perhaps have not owned him. Count the cost. You've got to take Jesus seriously if you're going to follow him. But follow him because there's no one else that you can possibly trust like Jesus. He's gentle, he's tender, he's infinitely forgiving. Because of the shedding of his blood, he has purchased a people to cleanse them and to make them a peculiar people zealous of good works. Follow Jesus. If you've never followed him before, acknowledge Jesus. If you've never acknowledged him before, he's not asking you to clean yourself up first. He's calling upon you just to fall on your knees and empty yourself and say, Jesus, take me. I am yours. Subdue me. These lusts and these passions, these lies, this deceit, subdue me and I'll follow you forever. So don't be too shy to call him Lord, Lord. Desperate people cry out. And whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So don't leave this place thinking, well, if I'm going to take him as Lord and if I'm going to confess him, I better turn over a new leaf first. No. Bow before him now. Follow him and he will take care of everything. But you've got to hand over the keys and stop trying to do it yourself. Now, for those of you who do or who have considered yourselves followers of Jesus, calling him Lord, Lord, if you know in your heart and in your conscience that these words apply to you, because I can't make that judgment, no one else can at the end of the day, you've got to look inside your own heart and life and take an honest inventory. Am I really a follower of Jesus? Or am I just a talker? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So why do you rest in lip service? That's a question. You've got to ask it and answer it for yourself. Perhaps it is that you hear but will not listen. You don't pay attention. Again, this is a part of the externalism of religious performances. Showing up, looking good, turning off. Perhaps it is because you hear, but do not mix Jesus' words with faith. Faith is the vital ingredient. You ever make something, you ever bake something, and it just doesn't turn out right, and then you slap your forehead because you realize you left out a key ingredient. Well, you see, dear friends, we don't become a saved servant of Jesus by doing something. In the first case, it's by believing something. Believing that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Savior of the world. He is the prophet, priest, and king. So you've got to mix Jesus' words with faith. Maybe it's because you hear, but you're not serious and you're not sincere. Maybe it's because you hear, but you do not understand. Maybe you don't understand the nature of truly following the Lord, of being a sincere believer, a Christian, that a part of the deal is not just faith in Jesus Christ, but also repentance unto life. And a deep and a meaningful commitment, yes, even an open profession of obedience to Jesus. A taking of a covenant. As the people of God of old, when God had spoken all the words of the Ten Commandments, and the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Do you get that? Do you get that that's what being a Christian means? It's not the only thing, but it's a vital ingredient. Maybe you hear but do not understand that you can't pick and choose. Christ is prophet, priest, and king. Not just a priest to give his life for us and to forgive us, but also a prophet to teach us and a king to rule over us. Perhaps you don't understand that Christ is not some talisman, some lucky charm to use for our own earthly purposes. He's not our life coach. He's our Lord. Perhaps you hear but do not really understand that Christ's commands are not easily kept. Now, to be sure, his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and we do find that when we exercise faith and we walk out in faith. But his commandments, when we look at them in all honesty, are very difficult. your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Men, you can't look on a woman to lust after her in your heart. You think you've checked off commandment number 7 because you've not committed adultery. But is it easy? Is it easy to use your eyes in a pure way? Is it easy to love our enemies? To forgive those who have offended us? Remember the people of God in the days of Joshua. He challenges them and they say, "We will serve the Lord." And he replies, "You cannot. You cannot serve the Lord. For he's a holy God." Maybe you do not understand that Christ is really and truly Lord, not some great rabbi or even the greatest of them, but the all-seeing, all-knowing sovereign possessing all authority and power. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you rest in lip service? Is it because you hear, but you think there will always be a tomorrow? So you don't need to act today. Well, you don't know if you have tomorrow. And one day there will be a final verdict from Christ, who says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." Maybe you rest in lip service, saying, "Lord, Lord," and yet you do not the things which he says because you rationalize. You use the mind that God has given you, and you use it in a clever way to get around the commandments that you don't like. You think religious duties pay you up to spend as you please. That his mercy will always make up the deficit. That perhaps 9 out of 10 ain't bad. Well, friend, if this is you, and this could be any one of us, and if you don't think that it is you, then ask yourself a second time. It is better safe than sorry. Even the most robust and most experienced of Christians need to be poked and prodded and pushed. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Is there some point of disobedience, Christian, that you've been living in? Some neglect of a certain duty that you have found that goes against the grain, that is too difficult to perform? Perhaps it is a sign that you are living in a serious backslidden state. That you have left your first love, that you have a name that you live and yet you are dead. Or, God forbid, but could it be that you are nothing other than a gross and unregenerate hypocrite? Because he is not your Lord. Lord, Lord, and yet you do not the things which he says. But I leave you with this, lest this should become a greater burden than it should be. Jesus says these things out of love. He says these things to awaken us, to make us see ourselves so that he can heal us and rescue us and renew us. And he calls you now to him. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Are you weary and heavy laden? Weary with your guilt, weary with bearing about these oppressive sins that you just can't manage yourself. Come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find, what? More heaviness, more burdens? No. You will find rest unto your souls. Don't mistake Jesus. He is not trying to cudgel you into heaven, but he wants to take you there. Take his yoke upon you and learn of him. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Our God, we ask now that thy word would be applied to our heart, and may we surrender ourselves, whether for the first time or once again, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may we take his yoke upon us and learn of him. Bless us now, we pray. Show us thy mercy through Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.